Hello and welcome to the Movers and Shakers podcast. My name is Gino Barbaro, co-founder of Jake and Gino, multifamily investor, educator, father, and mentor. And today our guest is Derek Loda. He's been active in real estate since 2015 and a Jake and Gino member since 2019. Derek has a variety of experience, including brokering residential and commercial properties, investing in multifamily, and working in the golf industry for 6 years, gaining experience managing teams of over 50 employees. Now he continues to make a positive impact nationwide for tenants, investors, and their communities alike. Welcome to the show, Mr. Derek Loda.
Hey, Gino, thank you for having me. It's been a long time coming, so excited to finally be on. So
it has been a long time coming. I've been asking you, you've been dodging me a little bit. I get it. And, you know, as God has a sense of humor, you're getting ready for the podcast and none of your stuff works, right? The great thing about the Jake and Gino community is we make it happen. There are no excuses. You can either make it happen or you can make an excuse. You can't do both, right, Derek?
Exactly. I know it's not as clear of audio, not as good of sound as, you know, we have this great setup for, but hey, getting it out there is better than not having it at all. And I will say there was a moment where I was thinking about, ooh, do I just reschedule? No, we're getting it done today. We said we were gonna. So
I love it. Right? And this is the accountability piece of the Jake and Gino community. You don't want to let others down. We'll let ourselves down, but we will not let our team members, our families, our friends, our investors, we won't let them down. Mr. Loda, share with the listeners why real estate. When did you get into real estate? Why was real estate the journey for you?
Yeah, so like you mentioned, and I have a tendency to ramble on a little bit, so I'm going to make it as condensed as possible here. But you mentioned in my intro, I used to work in the golf industry. I was pretty fortunate to bounce all around the country doing that for a stretch. And my first job out of college, I was working at a country club out in New York, out on Long Island. And my boss there, he kept saying, hey, get into real estate, get into real estate, get into real estate. Never really thought of it at the time. I'm like, yeah, you know, one day that sounds cool. You know, he had some commercial stuff. One of the other assistants that was working out there, his family were builders, I think, back in Ohio. So he just kept harping on it. Someday. Well, that someday was, you know, a couple years later when I moved back to Wisconsin and I was going to be working at Whistling Straits. So they've had Ryder Cup, PGA Championships, all that stuff. Super cool experience. Very fortunate to have that. But I bought a upper lower duplex that was a foreclosure. And, oh, I'm getting rent from upstairs that's paying for pretty much all of my housing costs. Okay, now I kind of get it. This is pretty cool. Ended up, you know, refinancing it, bought another property, which was a single family, which I wouldn't do again, and have waved goodbye as I sold that one. But then it kind of went on from there, had an idea about getting into multifamily, started hearing podcasts because I thought that it was going to take me 10 years before I could buy, you know, let's just say an 8 unit or something like that. And really started listening in and seeing that there was more to it. The more I listened, the more I wanted to do it. Golf is a tough industry. You give up a lot of your life. When I was getting, starting to get pretty serious with, you know, my girlfriend at the time, now my wife of, you know, soon to be 4 years. So I went, man, someday I'm going to have a family and I don't want to not be able to go on vacation or spend time with them because I have to take care of grass. Now there's nothing wrong with that industry. I love it. I was very fortunate to have some fantastic experiences, but it just, I could tell it wasn't it for the long run. So I ended up getting my license and my sale, you know, real estate sales, going into that in 2018. And then the end goal was always to build out that portfolio. And, you know, for a while I was just kind of spinning in a circle, not really knowing what to do, where to go. I didn't have a network that was doing what I wanted to do. And, you know, eventually ended up joining the Jake and Gino community and, you know, kind of went from there, but I wanted something more and I wanted a little bit more. I mean, everyone always says, you know, that financial freedom, but I just wanted the freedom of that time a little bit. Now, mm-hmm. in real estate, you know, especially on the sales side, you basically have to always be available. So A few things that we're working on now to systematize it, but that's kind of where it just, I could tell it wasn't there long run for the golf industry, and real estate just kept coming into this mind. I had a little taste and I wanted more.
If you're an investor, take yourself back to when you started. What are some of the tips or some of the suggestions you would give somebody listening to this to get into multifamily? Because unfortunately, a lot of students and a lot of people that I run into, they say they can't get into multifamily. They can't see themselves doing that. I could see maybe a single family, maybe a duplex, residential, but commercial is such a daunting word. And listen, for a golf pro, for a pizza guy, and for a drug rep, if the three of us can get into multifamily, anybody can get into multifamily. What are some suggestions you would tell the listener that they need to do to get into the space?
I mean, I think the biggest thing, a couple things. One is you got to get around the people that are doing it. You want to be, I always say, I have no problem being the dumbest person in the room. I want to do that because that's where you're going to be able to learn. So to be able to be around the people that have the experience, because if people are willing to go and meet with you, they're going to events, they're going to meetups, 9 times out of 10, those people want to actually give. They're not just there to, I'm going to look around and not help anyone out. Go have a conversation with them. You never know, you're going to be able to learn. And a lot of it is the network. It changes by market, of course, for how much stuff goes through, let's just say, goes through brokers versus is more off market. Around here, there's a lot of off market stuff. But building out those relationships is key. In that, building out the relationships with the, other investors, with brokers. And then another aspect of it, which kind of comes into phase two, is building out that team for your operations and everything. So that's, kind of building that network early, build those relationships early. And two, to do that, if you're like me, I always told myself I was introverted. And, while I don't enjoy small talk, I like digging into the goods. Let's get into the meat of the conversation. You have to be willing to go out there, introduce yourself, get comfortable with being uncomfortable being in the room, because each time you go, each time you have those conversations, every new person you meet, it ends up getting easier. And that's what really pushes you forward. The core concepts, in real estate, everyone talks about location, 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 and, the networking. It's a relationship business. It's who you know. It's not necessarily what you know, even though you should know a good amount, but it's who you know over what you know in this space, from my experience, because that's what can kind of give you that breakthrough.
Let me share with the listeners what you just said, because I think it's really important to bring it back. The first thing is, I don't want to say being the dumbest person in the room, but maybe being the least experienced person in the room, being the novice in the room. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be intimidated by that, because we all need to start somewhere. I think the other thing is relationships. That's so important in any business, especially real estate. And you had mentioned in your market, there's a lot of off-market deals. I think in any market, in multifamily and in commercial, there tend to be deals that are more off-market, especially when the economy is pretty hot. As we start seeing things slow down now, you're seeing things come back on market because they're not being sold. The brokers are holding them. And I think the third one that I like to highlight is the education. Derek, you've got a tremendous amount of education over the last 4 years. You've been to a ton of events. I even saw you at MM6 this past October. So you're constantly growing and constantly networking, but you need to take education. And that education times action will ultimately, I think, equal the results. Now, for you, we talked about the framework, buy right, manage right, finance right. What other struggles were you having before you joined the community, getting into multifamily?
Yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, I didn't know how to put all the pieces together. What really drove me to, ending up joining the community was I was working on an 88 unit deal, and we were surprisingly close to getting it done, but I didn't have the relationships with the right lenders. I didn't have, the knowledge of that process, how to make it smooth, how to really get. All of a sudden, I realized, hey, if we would have closed, I wasn't even sure how to process the stuff through. Yeah, we found a manager for it, but I need to understand in order for me to properly, kind of have that oversight of that manager. To go in that realm, it's a process for it. And that kind of made me realize I don't know the right people, I don't know the right procedures. And the ability to take action, that was great, because typically that's, you know, since I joined the community, I kind of kicked myself for a few years because I wasn't taking that jump. I wasn't taking that, you know, that action when I really needed to. I kind of go on the roller coaster, but that consistency is what's really going to get in. That's what I focused on now. But it's like, you start seeing, okay, the people that get in, they have the process of going through everything. Hey, making the connection. How do I handle, you know, X, Y, Z? And it's just having the right group around you. Wherever you are, whatever it is, having that right group so you're able to bounce ideas off, because two minds end up, you know, coming out with far more solutions than you can possibly do yourself. I think I kind of went off the rails on that one.
No, not at all. And I give you a ton of credit, because the 88 unit deal, first of all, for targeting a deal that size for your first deal is commendable. There's a lot of action. But you said something that's very important, and I want the listeners to really hear this. It's buy right, finance right, and manage right. It's all great that you can buy a deal and close in an 88 unit deal. But if you don't know how to manage the deal, you can lose a tremendous amount of money. And all that work you put into buying it, all that work you put into raising the capital, all that work you put into the financing is important. And the other component that Derek mentioned was the relationships. Do you have relationships with lenders? Do you know how to speak to these vendors and people in the business? That's a very important thing, so that when you go and you seek them out, you know exactly what terms you're looking for. Instead of a 20-year AM, are you looking for a 25 or 30-year amortization? Are you looking for interest only? Are you looking at a community bank or a credit union? Are you using agency? These are a lot of questions when you first start out. You don't know what you don't know, and it could have been dangerous for you to close that 88-unit deal. What other lessons did you learn from that deal that you didn't get? Because sometimes it's the deals that we don't close, we learn a lot of our lessons from.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest component was the financing piece on it, because like you just said, I didn't know what we were looking for. You know, what amortization, you know, I didn't even know at that time that you could get, you know, some interest only, because this project, you know, it needed the breath of new life. We'll put it that way. You know, it was definitely a value add. But yeah, just not knowing, okay, you could, you know, especially at that time, could have built renovation costs into the loan, you know, and finance some of that, you know, been able to have all those situations. It just, there was so much going on that it was overwhelming, but it's really actually quite simple once you get it kind of laid out in front of you in the right manner. So, you know, that was a huge, huge factor, and that ended up leading to, you know, one of the recent deals that we closed. You know, now I knew how to kind of filter through and be able to put that right financing piece together. But yeah, that, and it really, if I didn't, I mean, I'll say I failed at getting it, but it wasn't a failure. It was the best thing that happened, because it ended up leading me to building out that network and building out those relationships well ahead of time. Meet with the lenders before you have the deal.
And, that'd, you know, be a good idea, wouldn't it? There. But,
yeah, I mean, that was really the biggest thing, is, dude, the network, and that is in all realm, investors, vendors, everything.
I want everyone to write this down. No deal is better than a bad deal or an unprepared deal. Because you can be unprepared and close the deal, and it can be great, and it can be a mitigated disaster. That's the important thing. And one of my mentors said to me a couple months ago, I was at an event, and he's on stage, and he says, do you want to go into the forest before you have the map, or do you want to have the map and then go into the forest? Well, Derek was going into the forest without the map, and of course he's lost. He doesn't know how to finance the deal. He doesn't even know what manage right is, so the map is not even there. So I would tell everybody, and I had the same epiphany early on in my career when I started to do multifamily by myself. I had no map. I had no process. Jake and I got lucky on our first deal. We soon found the process of buy right, manage right, and finance right by doing. But once we understood that, all of a sudden it gave us some type of guardrails. You're staying between, as Jake likes to say, between the cones, and you have some type of parameters, whether it's the buy right parameters, how you finance the deal and manage right. In this 6-unit deal, go over the parameters that you have, the buy right parameters, the finance right, And I mean, how did you find the deal? And more importantly, what market are you in right now? Also, I'd love to have the listeners know where you're located as well.
Yeah, of course. So we are in Northeast Wisconsin. So Appleton specifically is where we're kind of based out of. And we buy about 90 minutes, you know, kind of make a big old radius around us. So for people who have listened, you know, and follow along with your other stuff, Logan Rankin, he's just down the road. So he's an absolute animal with it, just an incredible portfolio going up. So, we're in the same market there. But no, we love it up here. Very stable. But there's still some good growth. It's just, great area. Great area. We love it. You know, I have a business partner, Josh Jensma. So he's down in Oshkosh, about 20 minutes away. I'm in Appleton. We know these two markets like the back of our hand. So, But to go into this deal, so it's a 6-unit. It's townhomes that are down in Oshkosh. So they're 3-bedroom, 1.5-bath, 1-car attached garages.
Timeout. So my buy rate criteria, I'm already drooling. I like townhome styles. I like garages. I like the market you're in. They're apartment homes. I can already feel it right now. We love 3 bedrooms as well. You get a premium rents on there. People tend to stay longer if it's in a pretty good school district and all. I know I'm stealing your thunder. I'm going to let you continue with it. But this is what I'm talking about, the clarity. The map gave them the clarity on the buy right piece right there. So they know exactly the deals that they're looking for. And when you come across a deal like this, you know it's go time. You know, you can focus. You're clear. Bam, let's go.
Yeah, I'm going to add another layer that you're probably going to love to it too. Built in the mid 90s.
Okay, so ka-ching. There's another one right there. This is the absolute ideal deal for this part of the market cycle right now. Because if Derek is young right now and he wants to hold his deal for the next 15 or 20 years, it's not going to age itself out because it's still going to be, let's say, a 30 or 35 year old asset once he's done with it, once he decides to flip it or whatever. So check the box. That is awesome. Buy right criteria. Brother, good job.
Yep. So we had that. It fit. Josh was harping on me for a while. Now, I'm gonna take the fall on this one. We had the opportunity to buy this about a year and a half ago for $100,000 less, and it just didn't make sense at the time. You know, well, I argue that it didn't make sense because the rents for comps for where it could go just weren't quite there where it really made a ton of sense. Now, in the last year, they've kind of caught up. So give an idea of kind of where this project is sitting. So it's again, mid-90s. They're great units. You know, they're very convenient part of town. They're, you know, a few minutes off the highway. They're right by parks, schools, shopping, you know, again, to tie in to get a lot of the workforce for it. And it's a great little spot. The rents on it were averaging just under $800 a month.
Wow.
We just leased because we paid $125 a unit, which is way more than we should have with buying it. We then had to pay to keep the unit vacant during escrow because we wanted to fill our, you know, put in our tenant and have it at the new rent. They were going to rent it at $1,000. We just filled that with, we do have a couple of pets in there. We filled it and we're going to be getting $1,430 a month on that unit. So the rest of them we've implemented where we've, you know, done a partial rent increase, getting it up. We're not going to drop the $500 increase on people, you know, day one. We have a kind of a phase process for that, you know, to gradually go and get those rents closer to, or as they come vacant, obviously up to market. But we didn't just go in and bump rents without showing something. So the property, the landscaping was very tired. It was, you know, overgrown. Some of the plants were dying. The shutters on the exterior are all faded. The lights are from the mid 90s, you know. So we went out on the outside, refresh, power wash, kind of cleaned up the patios at the back, just give it a little breath of new life. You know, all new landscaping. We tore out the overgrowth and it's, you know, some new plants, the nice rock landscape. So we're not putting down mulch. We're not doing any of that. And just kind of give it a breath. We sent in it was an average of about $150 rent increase. And we didn't hear one word because they probably went, oh man, this is some BS. Searched on apartments.com and went, oh no, I think we are actually getting a pretty decent deal. So didn't have any issues with that, and then again in spring we'll probably end up kind of bumping up again. But yeah, it's a deal that I was fighting it. I credit goes to Josh because he made me actually take the action on this one, because he's like, I am telling you, it's a great spot, it's a great location, great property, all of it. Yes, we're overpaying for what it is currently doing, but for where the market's at, it actually made sense. All the tenants are paying their own utilities. Our expense ratio on it is about 31%.
Let me ask
So,
you a question on the financing. How did you finance this deal?
yeah. So initially we were going through a lender, and they just put out a huge loan, and this was when rates were kind of making another bump recently. I mean, they've only been pretty much going up, a little dip recent the last couple of weeks, but fantastic lender, one of the great ones in the area. If anyone is up here and looking, or actually in the state of Wisconsin, please reach out. I'd be more than happy to pass along contact info. We got a couple of great ones, but we were going to be going through. It was going to be a 25-year am. We were going to have a little bit of IO, and just where rates were jumping up, he's like, hey, I would. It might be worth your time just to make a couple of calls. We might not be the best fit for it. We end up making a call. We go from a 25-year am to a 30-year am. We have a couple months of IO on it while we went through. 5-year term, no prepayment, and the loan fee is $500. Just cheap, So, but yeah, great lender. We're pretty lucky to. I mean, it all comes from the action of going out and meeting the people, but we have a couple of fantastic lending options. And yeah, to be able to get the 30-year amortization on it, we are locked in. We're at 7.25% on it, which, again, a year and a half ago, that rate would have looked a lot more pretty. But that we love we're I let me rephrase it. We're not afraid at all of buying today. This is a fantastic time to buy if the numbers make sense. Because if the numbers make sense at 7, 7.5, 8% interest rates, and you can go and execute that business plan, get, add the value to it. In a few years, I mean, listen, at some point down the road, I think it's a little bit farther out than some people think. It's going to be a shorter term where they're really going to go down. But at some point in time, they're probably going to be lower. And if you add that value, we refinance, we can do a cash out refi, pull some of that out. If the rate's lower, odds are our payment isn't actually going to be that much more. So
It'll
if
be
it
less.
works today, imagine how great it can be if the rates go down. But if the rates
Yes.
don't go down, does it work? Yes. Bye. Hit the
That's the
bye
buy
button.
rate. That's the buy rate criteria. There are two things about the buy rate criteria. If you're buying on actuals, it was more challenging a little while ago. Now, as this market has progressed, we're tending to buy more on actuals because it's harder to finance these deals. The second component is now is the time to get into multifamily because you need to build those relationships, as Derek is talking about. If you want to find those lenders, they're not going to appear like fairy dust and go, oh, I've got my magical lender. No, you need to be in the game talking to the real estate brokers, talking to the property management companies. They're the ones who have these relationships, talking to other Jake and Gino community members. They're the ones who have these relationships. And one more thing about the buy rate criteria. We've been talking about the 1% rule on multifamily, on rents post renovation. You paid $125 a door. Let's say you're up to $130 a door, all in cost $135. You're still above the 1% rule at $1,430 in rents. And with that expense ratio being so low, with them paying the utilities, it is an excellent deal. And it's very challenging. Derek Lota is probably like my partner, Jake Senziano. He's a little cheap. He's like, you know what? I don't want to pay this much. This is too much. And he's got his partner, Josh, shaking him, going, brother, this is a deal. Trust me. And the great thing about it is you guys are actually looking at the pro forma. You're buying on your pro forma. You are not buying on the broker's pro forma. You're understanding the market. I heard something that was very important. You said that you're an expert in the market. Understanding the market is important. For those of you listening, pick one or two markets when you're first starting out. Understand the market itself. Become an expert. Start meeting the people in the space. And then all of a sudden, you're going to call Gino up one day and say, hey, this deal landed in my lap. It didn't land in your lap. And Derek, by the way, that lender just didn't happen out of the blue. You were working for that lender. Those are excellent terms. A 30-year AM, a little bit of interest only. That rate, you can live with that rate because that's where rates are right now. But like you said, when you're able to refi this deal down to 4.5%, and you pull equity out, your payment may be the same, may stay the same. So it's interesting that you're looking at it from that perspective. It's long-termism. You bought a great asset in a great market with great demand, great location, and you're looking at it for the long term. This is not a buy and hold for a year or 2 years. This can be a legacy deal, Derek.
Exactly. And that's the thing, is you got to get past what it's doing now. Because, and again, credit goes, Josh is a huge component for the success that we've been having. We've ended up, real estate's all we do. We've had a ton of deal flow. Some of the things, didn't fit for us, but again, we do broker as well. So we, can end up selling that, and we could still make some money on these deals. But Josh is very much an action taker. So sometimes he might go a little too much, yes, let's just jump in. Okay, well, let's take a look, and I dial him back. But he's definitely one to push me. Hey, I trust him. If it's a deal in Oshkosh, especially if he says it's a deal, it's a deal. Mm-hmm. Oshkosh he's born and raised, right in that area. Same for me and Anthony. Hey, if we say it's a deal, we look at the numbers. Do the numbers make sense? Yes. Hey, we gotta, we go. So we're very complimentary on not just that, but many skill sets, that having the right partner on it. This isn't something to just do alone. I was kind of trudging through the mud for years, trying to do everything myself and just not having that consistency. And then I moved back, I was living down in Florida. It was fantastic. The winter's slightly better than Wisconsin, but moved back, and Josh and I partnered up. And yeah, that's kind of that kickstart to the real, getting those dominoes really falling. So
last question before we sign off, where do you see yourself in real estate in the next 5 years?
Yeah, I think, kind of the goal here, where we're going is shifting away from handling anything residential. We do also look at self-storage and some light industrial for various reasons, but we still love housing. Housing is a need. We know it's one of the basic human needs, and, really expanding that around here. We love partnering with people. The next step would be probably going into the formal syndication and getting, that next tier of property, those 50, those 100 units, and building that out. And, kind of over the next few years, we want to end up building out, a portfolio, a combination between the couple of asset classes that we look at, but probably in excess of, $50, $75 million is kind of the goal for the 5 years. So, we're at about $5 million this year. So we've been very fortunate.
Excellent. Where can the listeners get a hold of you?
So Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, I'm Derek Loda on there. You search that in, you can connect with me, or if you want to shoot me an email, D-L-O-D-A, D-Loda, @lodarealestate.com. Be more than happy to connect, and I love being able to connect people with others. So,
you want to shoot your cell phone number out there? You can if you want to.
Yeah, shoot me a message, give me a call, 920-284-0720.
Derek Loda, playing golf out of college, understands that is his passion. It's an amazing business. But thinking long-term, it feels like he's on the hamster wheel. It feels like that's what he's going to do for the rest of his life. He wants to start a family. He's going to be traveling every weekend. It just becomes you. It just overtakes you. And one of his mentors or one of his bosses out in Long Island is like, dude, real estate, real estate, real estate. And Derek's like, nah, I don't want real estate. But then when he moves back and he buys a duplex and he says to himself, wow, I've got my living expenses paid from upstairs and I'm renting downstairs. This is a pretty good gig. But then he goes and buys a single family home, which is okay. It's great. But then he realizes, I need to buy too many of these. How do I get into this multifamily thing? Joins Jake and Gino. And to me, the rest is history, because it's really constant growth. Understanding that 88 unit was not part of the plan for him, not having the map and the processes. It wasn't clear on how he was going to take that deal down. Now, I promise you, if that 88 unit deal comes to him now, he'll know how to buy it properly. It's part of his parameters. He'll be able to finance the deal. And guess what? The manager portion of it, he's going to be able to manage that asset and extract that value. And as part of the community, just continual growth, continuing to get yourself out there. Being an introvert, it doesn't matter. You can make all the excuses in the world. You can either be a successful real estate investor or you can make excuses. You can't do both. And having the clarity on the buy right, manage right, finance right is going to help him go into other areas of real estate. Any final words, Derek?
Yeah, biggest thing, get the right people around you. Take that action. Once that first domino goes, the rest will keep falling. I mean, that's what's happening for us, but it's all about getting around the right people, get the right education, get that foundation, and it's all up to you for the rest. Get uncomfortable.
What Derek is saying is now is the right time to get into multifamily and even real estate specifically. It's an amazing asset class. It's an amazing business. As everyone's exiting the building, it's your opportunity to enter the building. I want to thank you, Derek, for being on the show, for not making any excuses about the audio or the video, for making it happen, and really for, you know, embodying what the Jake and Gino community is all about. It's really about being the go-giver. It's really about one of our core values is growth mindset and extreme ownership and not making those excuses and continuing to grow. So listen, I want to thank you for being a great guest. And if you want to be the next guest on Movers and Shakers, just email me, gino@jakeandgino.com. And let's go out there and let's make it happen day, everyone. Thank you.